giving myself permission to do work that I love and make money. That was the biggest shift in my business of anything, you know, because you can have all the right strategies, you can have the best brand, you can have a whole load of clients and followers, and yet if you don't believe that you're allowed to do work that you love and make money, which I didn't until I flipped that and started to really lean into that and believe that, things were gonna just stay stuck for me.
Hi there, yogis, and welcome to my podcast. I am Charlotte Reynolds, a digital marketer and strategist, founder of the Digital Yogi Agency and a yoga teacher. And I help ambitious yoga teachers and wellness businesses to grow and scale through the power of online. So how does this podcast work? Well, each week I will be speaking with an expert in the yoga and wellness space, someone who has already achieved something incredible with a unique specialism, and we will talk about building a business, digital or social media, and importantly, exactly how they did the thing that they did. Expect loads of value, expertise, genuine conversations, and more likely than not, some practical tips as to how you can implement some of this in your own business. Now, I wanted to address the topic that although we are working in a role where we are doing what we love, helping others, it is still okay to also want to be successful and to create a profitable and sustainable business. And ultimately, unless you do create a business that is profitable and sustainable, you might not be able to continue with it for as long as you might like to. In this episode, we're going to cover some big topics around business, the importance of working on your money mindset, of backing yourself, and of investing in yourself as a business owner to help you get to where you want to go faster. This is a meaty one, so I suggest you get yourself a notepad at the ready. Lauren is a fountain of knowledge, and I am certain you will come away from this episode feeling inspired, motivated, and as Lauren would say, ready to move the needle in your business. Let's do it.
Firstly, hi everyone, and thanks so much for spending your Friday morning with us. And Charlotte, thanks so much for having me. It's really lovely to be part of this series and such a nice idea to get everybody together and support each other, especially with everything going on in the world right now. And I loved reading what you guys all had for breakfast. I'm always looking for breakfast inspiration because it's like the most frustrating meal of the day for me, because I usually hate cereal and like boring breakfast. I'd like to have like a really good fancy breakfast. And so I always want inspiration. So I love reading what people eat. I don't know if anyone already follows Well-To-Do. Actually, maybe because I love using the chat as well. I love like being able to engage with you guys. So I hope you don't mind me doing that, Charlotte. But I love if anyone has kind of heard of Well-To-Do or follows Well-To-Do to just let me know in the chat so that I know how much you guys know about what I do. But I, as Charlotte said, am the founder of a business called Well-To-Do. A few people know. That's great. I set up Well-To-Do 6 years ago, and my ambition at the time was to actually build a business in the wellness industry. But I didn't have a big idea. So I was working in a corporate job and, wanted to build my own business, but I had no idea in what, like, I wasn't one of those people who knew I wanted to launch a product or, be a yoga teacher, or I didn't have much direction. And so to help me to get clarity on that, I started to write about the wellness industry. And I just set up, a really sort of bog standard blog on WordPress. It was like welltodolondon.wordpress.com or whatever at the time. I made a really crappy logo in Microsoft Paint, for anybody who remembers that program, before the days of Canva. God, thank goodness for Canva. And I just started writing about the industry. And so that sort of led me on a real journey of understanding the trends driving the industry and meeting a lot of other people who were like me wanting to start a business in wellness, but, were trying to wrap their heads around this opportunity that existed, especially in the UK at the time. Cause if we all kind of rewind 5 years ago, wellness was like this vague concept that, most people didn't really understand what it kind of meant. And so getting clarity on that for me was started with just writing about it, and then we evolved into events and consultancy, and now we produce annual reports and we work with, you know, some incredible big brands on helping them to diversify into wellness. And then, as you touched on there too, Charlotte, I also now work as a business coach, and I primarily work with experts in wellness. So experts cover, you know, any sort of specialty area of knowledge within wellness that you help your clients with to initiate some kind of transformation. So that might be in yoga, it might be, you know, using hypnotherapy, it might be as a therapist or a nutritionist or a personal trainer, or sort of any sort of modality of expert knowledge that you use to offer a service-based business. And that's like, that's the area that I really love working in, is helping people to turn what they already know and their knowledge and expertise into an incredible thriving business. So I do that as well as running Well-to-Do.
Awesome. Yeah. So if you don't follow Well-to-Do already, I'd recommend you go and give them a follow, because that's going to give you all the like most up-to-date industry knowledge of the whole of the wellness industry. So go and give them a follow if you don't already. So today I want to talk kind of around a few things. So I want to talk a little bit more about your business and your journey and how you got to be where you are right now. And then also want to talk a little bit about how to be successful whilst doing what you love, and how that all kind of interlinks with money mindset. And also then I think let's go into as well some more practical tips about how, like some how-to tips for business as to how you can actually start to scale and grow and make money.
Cool, let's do it.
Let's do it. So yeah, you kind of spoke a little bit about how Well-to-Do started. So what was the progression from, yes, you had your WordPress blog, to kind of where you're at now, this huge global brand?
Yeah, for sure. So it started as me writing sort of 3 or 4 articles a week alongside my full-time job. And I did that for about 8 months, not really knowing how to monetize this concept of just sharing information. And actually the whole time I was thinking eventually I'll stumble upon my big idea and then that will become my business. And so as I was writing about all of these trends and new businesses popping up in the wellness industry, I was thinking, oh, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could do that. You know, there were moments when I thought maybe I'll open a spinning studio, or maybe I'll start an athleisure brand, or maybe I'll launch a cold press juice brand, when that was all the rage. And eventually I realized that the opportunity was kind of right in front of me, and I was already building this platform and this community. And it was also at a time where Instagram as a platform was really easy to grow. I mean, it's just not quite that easy anymore. You kind of need a strategy and you need to kind of really understand how to leverage the algorithms and things. But in those days, it was super easy to just grow and grow if you were, you know, building a community around a certain theme, or especially with wellness, it was just so interesting to people. And so I started to just, I suppose, kind of have conversations with people in that community and ask them about what was drawing them into the wellness industry, why they wanted to build a business in wellness. And a lot of people were sort of struggling with the same things, like how do I turn an idea or something that I'm really passionate about into a business. And so the first sort of proposition, I suppose, the first thing that I sold was an event series. And so I approached, you know, I sort of thought to myself, who do people want to learn from who are leading the way in the wellness industry? And at the time, the sort of ultimate pinup girl was Deliciously Ella. Like she was, you know, on all the covers of all the magazines and the women's healths, and, you know, was kind of really making a name for herself as the golden girl of wellness. And so I emailed her, and I didn't know her at the time. And I asked her, you know, how would you feel about coming and speaking about your business journey? And she was joined by the founder of an almond milk brand at the time. Again, like almond milk was like all the rage. And And I invited the founder of a raw cafe in Chelsea, Tanya, to come and join as well. And the three of them sat on stage and I interviewed them about their business journey so far. And to my amazement, and probably thanks also to Ella kind of promoting the event to her network, which was part of the objective, we had, I think, almost 200 people show up for the wow. first event.
And it was an in-person event.
Yeah, and it was just, it was mad. And I was there on my own, kind of setting the chairs up in this space in a basement in Fitzrovia. And my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, was on the door taking tickets from people and like selling cash tickets on the door to people, which I found out later. And so that was when I first realized that actually well-to-do was the big idea. And that there was this real yearning from people to find out about what the opportunities were for them to build a business in wellness. And so I was then able to kind of continue that wellness. We called it the Founder Series. And that event ran for 5 years. We were running it right up until pre-COVID. And we then launched a trend series. We ended up evolving that into an annual summit, where the first year we had 500 people, and it kind of carried on growing from there. And you know, so now we use all of that intelligence and knowledge about the wellness industry and what's driving growth and why consumers behave the way they do in wellness. And we package that up into consultancy services, and we kind of help brands to understand how the industry is innovating and growing. And then some of you may have also seen Well-To-Do Careers. So we now have a jobs board. And so we also help companies in wellness to find talented people who want to work for these brands. And I think, you know, what I saw was a whole community of people who wanted to build a business in wellness, but there are also a whole bunch of people who really just want to work for amazing brands and want to do work that fulfills them and want to work for brands that they're aligned with. And, you know, I know that was what I was yearning for as well, was to just do work that really aligned with my core values and felt good for me. And ultimately, yeah, meant that I would wake up on a Monday morning and actually be doing work that I loved. So it was about a year in that I quit my corporate job, started to build a team. So I hired my first employee, who was our editor and is still our editor. Our next hire was an events manager. And then we started to build our careers team. And then my husband left his corporate job and joined the business, which was a really exciting moment for us. And yeah, I guess the rest is history, as they say.
Oh, that sounds like quite a journey. And how long was that from beginning to end?
So it's been coming up to 6 years since I kind of incorporated the company in my bedroom in Chelsea, and then had to move out of my lovely place in Chelsea that my corporate job supported and move in with my boyfriend's parents and in Surrey, which is all part of the journey, you know, all of the sacrifices that you make along the way to make a business work.
Mm. Awesome. I mean, so yeah, right now, like, we're in a bit of a weird period, unprecedented times. But it's kind of quite an exciting time for the industry of wellness, because, you know, with digital and everybody taking everything online, it's creating like a lot of new opportunities, like a lot of different doors are opening for people, like different places that they can take their business. And how have you seen this impact your business and also the business of the clients that you work with?
Yeah, I mean, it would be remiss of me not to say how difficult it's been. And I know for everyone on this call this morning, we've all had our fair share of challenges of negotiating what is now a very different world. And so for me, right from the outset, I decided to take on this mindset of effectively, how can I take action to make this the best thing that's ever happened for me? And that was the attitude that I wanted to instill in my clients as well. So it wasn't just how can I look at this as though it's the best thing that's ever happened to me? It was like, how can I take action and respond to this so that it becomes the best thing that's ever happened to my business? And so, you know, if you were an events business like we are, it had a huge impact on us. We suddenly had organized events you know, a 500-person conference that we weren't able to run anymore. I had clients, including yoga studio owners and fitness studio owners and store owners, who were just suddenly unable to open their doors. And it was a pretty dramatic impact. You know, for some businesses, 95-98% of their income was suddenly pulled out from underneath them. And so, you know, the critical concept, the critical word at that point in time was pivot, right? Like, how do we pivot our business? How do we respond to this? What is happening here? Take like that bird's eye view and look at like what the opportunities are and what people now need. And it was almost, for most businesses, like completely reinventing yourself. And saying, okay, now we live in this digital world. Now consumers are stuck at home. So people still want to be entertained, but you know, they maybe want to be entertained at a more accessible price point and in a digital format that will really resonate with them. And so we had to quickly adapt our events to be on Zoom. We had to quickly, you know, negotiate with our sponsors and our partners to find other ways for us to create value for them. And for lots of clients, including, you know, my client who's a studio owner in the north of England, you know, how do we take things online and how do we create a unique experience that reminds people why they love your brand and your instructors and your way of teaching and your philosophy, and turn that into a really powerful digital experience. And that was, you know, that was the key, is how do we've actually now got an incredible opportunity. And to take that kind of optimistic view of, okay, it's going to be tough, but we need to respond quickly and not stay stuck in that mindset of all the limitations and obstacles that are in front of us, and instead focus on the fact that, you know, I Googled how many people are online, and it's like 4.57 billion people are online. And it like blew my mind. I was like, okay, suddenly we're not just trying to reach Londoners to come to our events. Now we've got this opportunity to reach almost 5 billion people all around the world, you know, and share our message with those people. And so that was a critical thing for me to focus on, is okay, we've, you know, what are the opportunities that now exist, and how do we leverage those as much as possible?
So I'm just going to pause the interview here briefly to talk to you about digital marketing in your business. If you're at the stage where you are ready to grow and scale up significantly by running paid advertising, and you're ready to outsource, then I would like to direct you to the Digital Yogi Agency. So whether it be running best-in-class paid ad campaigns on Facebook, Instagram, and Google that convert, or creating bespoke digital strategies for your business, with a decade of experience in running best-in-class ad campaigns for huge national brands, your business will be in safe hands. You can visit thedigitalyogi.co.uk/theagency to inquire now.
I wanted to talk to you about that mindset of being a business owner, because I know definitely in my community, or some people I speak to, almost don't like to use the word business owner. I think because a lot of us are doing a job that we love, we almost don't see it that way. How do you start to take that mindset shift from, this is something that I love doing and it's great if I get paid for it, to, right, okay, I'm a business owner and I kind of need to approach things from that perspective?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll caveat my answer by just sharing a little bit about my journey with this, so that hopefully some of you may relate to this. When I worked in my corporate job, frankly, I hated most moments of it. Like, it was work. It was very much like the thing I went to do 9 to 5 to make money. And yeah, there were definitely awesome moments, and I felt very fortunate that I had a job, and I was, you know, grateful for the opportunities that had come up for me. But like, come 5 o'clock, I was pretty damn happy to kind of be out of that place. And the thing that initiated my desire to want to work for myself was when I looked at my company director and thought, you know, I don't want to be you in 15 years time. Like, that's not the ladder that I want to climb. And actually, one of my clients said this beautiful quote the other day. She said, if you're going to climb the ladder, make sure it's against the right wall. And I was climbing this corporate ladder and then looking up and realizing that's not actually like the wall I want to be climbing up. And so when I left my corporate job and started doing this work that I really loved, like I was getting paid to talk to amazing entrepreneurs on a stage. And like, I love doing that, and ask them about their business journey, and people were paying to come and watch me do that. And I was like, this is friggin' cool. Like this is my job now. And frankly, I would have done it for free. And I think that was the mindset that I had when I left and started to build my business, was I love this work so much that I would do it for free. And what happened for me was that I really struggled in the first couple of years to make money. It was constantly like, you know, down to the last few pennies each month. And like, I was paying my first employee. And like, I remember one time an experience where I went to get on the train. This is when I'd moved in with my boyfriend's parents. Like, it was pretty, pretty tough times. Like, I hadn't had my hair cut in like over a year, and I went to get on the train and my debit card declined. And it was just like, you know, why am I just not getting this? Like, what is the problem here? And at that point I started to, I actually discovered a course about money mindset, and it was probably through like a Facebook ad. Like, they probably like targeted me because I, you know, like they probably had data on me that indicated I was someone like struggling.
They picked up on your brain waves.
Totally.
They just were like, now we know she needs this.
Yeah. This girl needs some money mindset work. And it was a course around like coaching and money mindset, and this coach kind of recommended a whole list of books for me to read, and I started reading books. You know, like there's a whole bunch of them, and I'm really happy also to share with you guys if you want some recommendations after the call. I can share a list with you. But just books around, you know, like there's a Kate Northrup book called Money, A Love Story, and it's just like around developing a healthier relationship with money, and seeing it as a relationship, and seeing it as a relationship you need to invest in and communicate around. And for most of us, we don't really talk about money. And so when you start to do this money mindset work, it really forces you to dig deep into the stories and patterns that you have around making money. And when I went through some of those exercises, one of the stories that came up for me was around like, you know, you've got to work hard to make money. And within that story, there's an idea that it's got to be hard, right? And so when I was in a corporate job where it was hard and I struggled and had to kind of slog through it, that for me was like, that resulted in making money. And so that supported my view of that belief.
Yeah.
And also for me, when I look at, you know, we all learn these patterns around money from our caregivers or our parents. And for me, my parents both had jobs that they didn't particularly love. Like, they had hobbies and passions outside of work that they loved, but work for them was kind of, I work to make money. And so that's how I learned to make money, was like, it's not necessarily going to be fun, but you're going to go to work and then you'll get paid. And so if you think about how that belief underpins your whole system of thinking about money, then suddenly I found myself doing work that I really loved. And so my brain subconsciously is telling me like, well, you know, that doesn't equal money. Like, you're not even working hard here. Like, you're doing something that you love. And can you see how like that is not going to support me to build something, a career that makes money? And so I started to kind of challenge that belief and challenge this pattern of thinking that actually it had to be hard, or that I wasn't allowed to enjoy it. And, you know, hence the name of the session today, like giving myself permission to do work that I love and make money. That was the biggest shift in my business. Of anything, you know, because you can have all the right strategies, you can have the best brand, you can have a whole load of clients and followers, and yet if you don't believe that you're allowed to do work that you love and make money, which I didn't until I flipped that and started to really lean into that and believe that, things were gonna just stay stuck for me. And And so from that moment, really doing a lot of that affirming and building a relationship with money and kind of getting into the numbers and not shying away from checking my business accounts and actually kind of sorting out my accounts. So getting an accountant, getting organized, like stepping into this idea of I'm a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur, owning that. Until you do that, you will stay stuck financially. And I see that experience time and time again with entrepreneurs in the wellness industry. And I think it's because I'm not the only one who was conditioned to believe that you have to work hard to make money. And yet, if we could all adopt a belief around, you know, making money with ease and allowing ourselves to have that opportunity to do what we love and make money, it would be a very different industry to work in.
Mm. So do you believe that it really is all mindset and that, you know, we really can make as much money as we wish if we approach it the right way with the right mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the person who believes that you just sit and manifest money and cash falls out of the sky, right? Like that's not my approach. My approach is that you can work really hard and do all the right things and have the right strategies and still be blocking yourself from making the financial return. So I think you've got to do both. You've got to, and here's the thing, right? Like if you really do think about your relationship with money in the same way that you think about your relationship with your partner or your closest friends or your family, you know, how do we foster great relationships in our lives? We get into communication on a regular basis. We invest in that relationship. We talk about that relationship with that person. And so if you almost kind of give money this, if you kind of personify it and give it this, you know, real life characteristic, then when you think about the relationship you have with it, like, are you checking in on your bank balances? Are you checking in on who's paid you and who hasn't? Are you setting kind of goals around how much money you want to make and why you want to make that money? Is there a purpose to the relationship? You know, are you thinking about, because we don't want to just make money for the sake of making money. We want to make money so that we can have a bigger impact, so that we can give to causes that we feel passionate about, so that we can, you know, travel and have the lifestyle that we want to have. And so attaching meaning to that and creating a purpose for what we're doing is really important. But it all comes back to cultivating a positive relationship with money and being open about it and talking about it with your colleagues and asking other yoga teachers what they're charging or how they're structuring their business and just getting into conversation around it and breaking down some of that taboo around money that is just stopping us from having the richness in our lives that we deserve to have.
I think that's so true. Like, I definitely think that I don't know if it's just wellness, but there's definitely a nervousness around, you know, being quite open with other people as to how much you're getting paid and sharing that information with others. On that note, I guess, how do we have confidence in assigning a price tag to what it is that we offer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd love to know from people in the chat, is this something that you have experienced challenges with in terms of like thinking about how to price yourself and especially kind of moving into the digital world? You know, has it been difficult for people to be thinking about how to position themselves and price themselves and have these conversations about pricing? I'd love to know where everyone kind of sits with that.
Yeah, let us know. I think definitely when this kind of online Instagram teaching started happening and there was a lot of people all offering their classes and services for free, and then it almost became like people were almost expecting it, and there was a bit of nervousness about then I think charging, because nobody knew it was a new thing. Like, do we charge, do we not? Everyone's kind of looking to everyone else. Are you charging? Are you donation based? Are you £5?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I would say for everyone on the call, you know, is to really think about not just what you do as a yoga teacher, but the problem that you solve for people.
Totally.
So when we start to really plug into the transformation that we're able to provide for people, it's suddenly not just about the hour that you spent with that person teaching them some yoga poses. It's like, what experience did we create for people, and how did that transform them in that moment, in their day, in their life? And when they repeat that process with us as a teacher or an instructor, how is it shaping their life? And so we're suddenly moving away from measuring our 1 hour of time that we gave, and we're measuring the transformation or the outcome that we're selling people, because that's what we're actually selling. We're not selling yoga. We're selling the experience and the transformation that our clients are receiving from us. And what I think is most difficult about pricing a service is it's not like selling a product, right? Where like this mug was, you know, made in China probably, and it cost, you know, X amount for the raw material, ceramic, and, you know, you can kind of put those costs together and then add a margin on, and suddenly you've got your price for a mug. When we're talking about your experience and you as a service provider, what's gone into that as a kind of the raw materials, if you want to call it that, are your training, your education. And I know for a lot of you, because you've shown up on this call today, like you're the type of person who wants to really invest in yourself. So when we now think about how the industry is changing and how people's needs are changing, we've really got to think about like, what is the transformation that we're selling? And when you're selling, you know, yoga in a digital space, how can you embody all of your knowledge and expertise and create or craft a transformation that really speaks to your specific audience? And we start to get into, you know, a conversation around really knowing who it is that you want to serve, really knowing the problem that you want to solve for them. And if you can truly solve that problem for people, then it becomes a scalable proposition and a proposition that you can attach really high value to. So if you help somebody to create calm in their life, then, you know, you're offering more than yoga. You're selling like calm and peace of mind. And that's what people need right now. They want to buy that. And so I would challenge people to really think about, maybe when we were in like a bricks and mortar scenario, we were kind of just selling a yoga class, but now we're selling a solution. We're selling a transformation. We're selling so much more than that. And it might challenge you to, and it might require you to think about where else you need to develop as an expert and as a business owner and expand your sense of, or your understanding of what you're actually selling, and start to think about different business models that will allow you to scale that so that you're not just selling one-off classes. You're starting to think about maybe selling a program, or maybe you're starting to think about selling a membership or something with, you know, where other experts are involved, and actually kind of thinking about the different business models that are available to you now that you're operating in the digital space. But then going back to your original question, you know, it really does come down to, again, your relationship with money and how you consider the worth of what you are delivering for people. And you're free to put whatever price you want on that. And that's why, you know, I know yoga teachers who charge £150 for a session. I'm not saying that's the right price. I'm just saying when you have confidence that's what it's worth and you're going to attract a client who is willing to pay that premium, then it becomes justified. And equally, you know, there are yoga teachers who have £12 memberships and are bringing in thousands of members a month and building really sustainable and scalable businesses that way as well. So there's a real opportunity in kind of this whole digital transformation to challenge yourself to build your expertise, not just as a teacher, but also as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, and to challenge yourself to kind of scale things up.
I think that's such a good point about, you know, not just thinking about it as you're selling this service that's taking, you know, I'm selling you this vinyasa class, it's 1 hour and this is the price of it. You know, it's thinking more about what is that transformation that you're giving people? What's the outcome for those people that are going to take part in your class? And then packaging that up as you're offering rather than the yoga class. And I think, I think when you speak as well about thinking about your business and how it's going to look, I think that's definitely something people have had a bit of time to reflect on over, you know, the last few months, is how is this business going to be sustainable? Because a lot of teachers experience this world of teaching online and going, oh God, I don't know if I actually want to go back to doing what I was doing before. And how can I start to build a business that is going to align better with how I want to live my life? And that's not going around the city, you know, traveling 5 hours a day to do so.
Yeah.
And there's so many different business models that have started to come up to the surface. Membership platforms, like you mentioned, people started to really put time and effort into their YouTube channels, group programs, courses that people are creating. How do we make sure that we are not getting left behind and we're keeping up with all of these opportunities and really jumping on them?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I think fundamentally it comes down to the importance of, and I know we were going to talk about this anyway, so maybe it's a natural segue, the importance of, you know, investing in your own development as a business owner. So we've talked about the importance of actually embracing that and saying, like, I am a business owner. I now need to figure out my business model. And if you've shied away from that, you know, maybe today is your reminder that for everyone who's on this call, you're a business owner. You're an entrepreneur. Yes, you're a yoga teacher as well. But your identity is much broader than that. You're also a human being living in a pretty crazy world right now. But if you can step into that identity as a business owner and say, okay, things have changed. Take a deep breath. I need to understand what business models are available to me. If you're drawing a blank on that, then there's a really strong indication that there's some learning that you need to do. And that's totally cool. Like, I had the same experience in lockdown where suddenly my business was losing 60 grand a year of what we'd projected because we weren't able to run our biggest summit of the year. We had to completely can it. And so I said to myself, okay, how do I scale my coaching business? Because at the time I was only working one-to-one. A lot of you may have been in the same situation where you had one-to-one clients. And I said to myself, right, I need to create some kind of scalable group program. And I didn't have a framework for that. And so what I did was I looked for a learning opportunity in that. And there's an awesome motivational author, an American guy called Brendan Burchard. And he says the difference between a successful person who achieves their goals and moves forward with their goals in life and somebody who doesn't is that when you face an obstacle, a successful person says, okay, there's something here that I don't know the answer to. So I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to find the solution. I'm going to educate myself around this. And, you know, if I don't know how to use YouTube, I'm going to learn how to use YouTube. And you go through that process and you allow yourself to be a beginner at that and learn something new. And that's what we've all had to do this year. But a lot of people haven't. A lot of people have just stayed stuck in, okay, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to build the membership platform, or I'm not a technical person. Or,
yeah, that's a common one, isn't it? I'm not very technical.
Right. But no one's born technical. Like, we learn these skills, and it's your ego that stops you from sitting in front of the YouTube tutorial and learning how to do it. Or like I had to, you know, I invested in a course, and the course was around how to scale up my coaching business through group programs. And I spent like probably 4 weekends in a row. I didn't go, like, we weren't going out anyway. So it was like a perfect opportunity. But like, I spent hours and hours educating myself around how to scale my coaching business through group programs. And then I launched the group program. And like, that was for me the way that I pivoted in my business. And so like, it kind of comes back to that sort of what I said before, distinguishing between the successful person and the person who stays stuck. The successful person says, okay, there's a bit of a roadblock here. I don't know the answer. I don't know how to navigate building out this new business model, but I'm going to find out. And that might mean doing a course, or, you know, getting a coach, or, reading a book. I mean, there's so many resources. There are so many podcasts. There are so many free masterclasses right now. It's insane how much you can learn about building a digital business. Like, you're a perfect example, like what you're offering with your courses and with these sessions. Like, it's about lapping all of that up and saying, I'm gonna have to pivot, and that might mean that I have to learn some new skills.
Yeah, totally. During lockdown, I learned so much. Like, I thought my head was going to explode. I was listening to so many podcasts, doing so many of these trainings online. But yeah, totally agree with make the most of all of the resources that are out there.
Yeah. And if you're sitting thinking like, I've kind of missed the boat, like, it's the wrong attitude, because this whole digital experience is absolutely here to stay. Even when we go back to meeting in person, like, people are now, they now have new habits and new routines around engaging in digital content. So we all need to master digital marketing and digital strategy if we're going to survive in business in the future.
And can you do it alone, or how important is it to learn from other experts or experts who have that knowledge that you don't already have?
It's a super simple answer. Yes, you can do it alone, but I promise you, if you invest in learning from someone who's done it before you, you're going to get there way faster. And it's your ego that will tell you you've got to figure this all out on your own. And I had that block for years in my business, thinking like that there was some kind of glory in making it into a struggle. And I'm super stubborn. So I was like, oh no, I'm going to figure this out on my own. Like, I don't need support from anybody. And then, like, for me, I did a 3-month course, and I learned more in that 3-month course than I had in the whole like first 3 years of my business.
Yeah.
So it's simple. Like, yes, you can do it on your own, but wouldn't you want to do it faster so that you can start to get some of those returns in your business faster? And especially with business, investing in your business, there's a clear return on that, because if it helps you to create more revenue and therefore, you know, boost your income faster, why wouldn't you?
I've got a question about, so how do we set our goals for our business? If we're right now, we're at point A and we think, okay, so I know that I want to scale, or I want to make more money, or I want to work less, or whatever. How do we make sure that we're setting those goals for ourselves? Yeah.
So again, like, I'll keep this super simple. I would get really specific with your goals. So instead of saying, I want to make more money, I'd love for you to make a decision about how much more money. Like, what do you actually want to make in your business? Is it an extra $3,000 a month? Is it for you right now, like, would it be amazing to make an extra £1,000 a month? Or are you wanting to build a business that gets you to making $10,000 a month? Like, there's no right or wrong answer here, but the best way to set that goal is to actually think about what you want to do with that money, what that's going to enable you to feel or have or create in your life. And once you've created that goal, for most of us, we kind of write that goal down and then we feel completely overwhelmed, because we're like, okay, well, great. Like, I've got this goal now that I want to make more money in my business. What the hell do I do now? Like, the secret would say, like, you just sit and visualize it and it will just manifest itself. And the reality is, as a business owner, you've got to actually get into action, right? So the most important thing is that you then break that down into manageable steps. And so you actually think, okay, like, what is the first thing that I need to do to make this happen? And for a lot of us, it will be an education piece. It'll be like, okay, well, I need to understand, like, what are the business models available to me to get to that extra £2,000-£3,000, whatever your goal is. And so, you know, go and find a list of 5 podcasts that you need to be listening to, and give yourself 20 minutes to an hour a day investing in learning. And on that note, what I would say is that for most of us, because we haven't fully stepped into that identity as a business owner, we almost feel like it's like an extracurricular activity to invest in our own personal growth and development as a business owner. Mm-hmm. When I realized that actually I was the only person that was going to change my outcomes in my business, I realized that it was just as important for me to be selling or marketing myself as it was to be reading and investing in myself and learning about business. And so I would encourage everybody to carve out at least 30 minutes to an hour a day, just working on your own kind of business and professional development, like listening to business podcasts, listening to joining things like this, reading books, ideally get a business coach. Like, that shifted everything for me. And actually kind of prioritize that. And then, as I said before, like, most of us, we obsess over like what the big picture looks like, but we get stuck in not knowing how to get there because we're thinking, but I don't know how to do step 25 in this process. So like, I'm completely paralyzed by that fear or overwhelm. And we forget that actually right now, all you need to do is take step one, and we're all capable of figuring out what our step one is. And then we figure out what step two is, and you craft like an action plan for yourself to get to that goal.
Mm. And I think a lot of people's step one is probably thinking, you know, how am I actually telling people about what I do? How am I using the tools available to me to reach out to my network, but also reach people outside of my network? If anybody on this call is thinking, I'm just not sure that I am using these tools that I have available to me as well as I could, if I'm not really approaching Instagram as a business owner, and you know that you want to start doing so, then definitely get in touch with me about my group program.
Yeah, I mean, for everyone on the call, like, that for me would be such a natural first step to take. Because Instagram used to be like a nice to have in your business to kind of support building a personal brand and so on. And now it's a primary sales tool, and most people are missing like the most obvious, simple strategies. And I don't care whether you've got 200 followers or 200,000 followers. There are so many opportunities right in front of you when it comes to using Instagram. And I know that your course is going to be amazing for yoga teachers to better understand that and to leverage that. But it's a perfect example of taking a first step. And I would also say, if you're frustrated about where you're at right now and you're not making the progress that you want, like, we all know that ridiculous definition of insanity is like, if you're, you know, doing the same things over and over again, but expecting a different result, like, you're going to go cuckoo and you're going to continually be frustrated by lack of sales and outcomes in your business. So if you could just master using Instagram as a digital marketing tool and get really good at that, it could completely move the needle for you and your business. I know that with 100% certainty.
Mm. Yeah, because I think the skills that you learn when it comes to social media strategy, whether that's on Instagram or whatever the platform is right now, like, obviously new platforms are going to come into play, but that strategic focus on how to use these platforms for your business is going to translate not just from Instagram, but also into all the other different platforms that might come into play as well.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. Yeah, because a lot of it is just like getting visible, right, and being confident in your message. And if you can do that on Instagram, you're going to be able to do that on email, on webinar, on be able to host your own events, all of that. So it's such a good platform to build those skills and then use them elsewhere. What was the author of the Money Mindset book? As I can see, there are a few. So there's one that I would massively recommend, and it's called How to Be a Badass at Making Money. Everyone should read that book. It's funny. It's relatable. It's, you know, the author Jen goes from like living in a converted garage to, you know, having a supremely successful service oriented business. And it's such a great book. So definitely one to start with.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining, everyone. I think we've run out of time. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Lauren?
Do you know what? I'd love to just share about my podcast, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
I actually host two podcasts. One is called the Business of Wellness podcast, and that's, we interview founders of really successful product-based businesses, beauty brands, athleisure brands. You know, there's a couple of, yoga studio owners who are interviewed on that podcast. But more recently, I've launched a podcast called Experts, and I interview individuals who have built a business out of their own expert knowledge, like a lot of you are doing. In fact, all of you are doing that. And it's about really stepping into this idea of being an expert in your field, and also then the strategies to help you to build that kind of go-to expert brand. So it's on Apple Podcasts at the moment. It's called Experts. And we're two episodes in, but I'm really loving sharing all of the insights with you guys. So I'd love for you to subscribe.
An inspiring chat there with Lauren Arms, my business coach and founder of Well-To-Do Global. And if you don't already follow Well-To-Do Global, it is a great source of information to stay updated with all that is going on in the wellness industry from a business point of view. I'd also recommend to go and check out her podcast called Experts. Join me in the next episode as I speak with Naomi White as we talk about how to get seen and heard through the power of PR.
If you're looking to raise awareness of the business that you just said and expand your reach to new audiences, attract new clients, up your social media following, drive traffic to your website, PR should probably be one of the top things on your list.
This session really was amazing, absolutely blew my mind, and the amount of feedback that we got off the back of this session, it was literally incredible. So do not miss it. Join me next week, subscribe, follow, rate the podcast so that you don't miss an episode. Look forward to seeing you there.